It was successful.
I'm crashing. Forgive me if I'm bad at this.
What?
Yeah, then? I always like groups better.
You do?
Yeah, journalists always say they hate it, but I like it better. I like to do them better because one-on-one is very intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you guys falling asleep or is it just my brain is fried now?
But you look gorgeous. So,
That's all that matters, right?
So much is fine.
Finally, I start because I have the beauty question.
Okay.
I'm from Vogue Germany. It's a new perfume and the old Berry Irresistible. So it's quite different. It's intense. So, do you think you've grown up, you become older, it's much more lift higher now, the new perfume, than it was before? Or if you compare it to both?
I mean, it's so hard because it just is. I mean, that was 7 years ago, obviously. I mean, the company has evolved, the brand has evolved, the perfume has evolved, I've evolved, I've changed. And also, you know, the truth is it's not necessarily such a big plan. It's kind of, so you see what happens, you know. In the beginning, there was Givenchy and they hired me, and it was like that first shoot we did with Mario Testino was an experiment. We had outfits and an idea, and you take a million pictures, and then there's like one image that captures a moment that you think, oh, okay, we want this to represent what that thing is, and throughout time that sort of happens. But I know for sure that this time there was more of a specific idea in mind of the intensity of the perfume, which was another version of their Irresistible. But also I feel like a lot of the influences come from Ricardo and sort of the mark that he, you know, what he's doing with the company and the direction that it's going in, his involvement, and, you know, I guess obviously where I am in my life and who I am now as a woman, and was that sort of idea all kind of came together to do something that was.
So you will take more influence also over the picture? And
I mean, I have no control over.
Okay.
They show me images and I can say, oh, I love this or I don't love this. And obviously on the day when I was shooting with Mondino, we would sit together. And he's wonderful he's very caring with his talent. And we would sit together and I would show him. And of course, I'm sure if I said I hate that, they would never use it. But it's not really, you know, you have to be very free and kind of be willing to try anything until you come up with that one sort of thing. But it was interesting that it was the first picture we took a test for, just to see the light and the outfit, to see how it looked, and we weren't trying at all, but it already had that feeling about it somehow. And I think that's why I mentioned Ricardo, because somehow everything sort of come together now for the company as a whole, because the fragrance and the cosmetic and the couture used to be very separate. And there's been so many changes, you know, with many different designers and sort of a way of trying to recreate in a modern way this sort of amazing, elegant brand. And I feel like now something's just kind of finally clicked. It's all sort of come together. And we noticed that even, you know, because for 7 years, the makeup's been evolving and getting better and creating more and more products, and so I've sort of been doing this for a while, and if there's a feeling, I don't even know how to articulate it, but it all just kind of, after so many years of work, it's finally come together where it's actually just sort of happening now on its own. It is its own thing somehow. So.
But the smelling is much more intense. This is more you. The first was quite light, I think.
The floral, the rose,
quite light in comparison with this perfume.
It's hard because I don't know what to say. I like the smell of roses, obviously. I like the smell of roses. I always wear like musk oils, and I really like kind of like church scents and kind of strong, in little doses. But I really like this scent a lot for me. I like it very much.
Well, it's either to explain it like
fashion-wise, because in this new campaign, you look like a very sexy rock and roll kind of look, with like the leather bracelets and this. And like at other times, you look like ultra feminine, like some kind of like Cinderella dresses. And then there are also times when you have like this hippie-ish attitude to it. But at the same time, it's always like very, just my impression, like very authentic you somehow.
So
because it's like all of this like in you, it's like both the rock and roll side, the feminine side, the hippie side. It's like all part of the personality you are.
I mean, you know, my job since I'm 13 years old is to be a model and an actress and
jump from road to road.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I'm very grounded in myself and who I am, but as far as, you know, I'm visually, it's like you're constantly a chameleon or trying new things or especially, you know, more so when you're modeling, you're trusting in these incredible teams of people to do whatever they want with you, and it's amazing to see.
But what if you had to describe yourself, would you say that I'm like rather kind of like rock and roll girl or rather like a free spirited?
I don't know, I'm all of those things, I guess.
That's what I figured, because you're always authentic in like each role of that.
I don't know, I mean, I change, my style changes, and I'm so used to thinking like an actress, so, if, you know, for example, if I'm playing a part, I'm thinking how that person dresses, and so a lot of times with style, I'll get an idea in my mind, often from a film or an image that I'll see of something that I would like to create again or wear. Maybe I think that. Does that make any sense?
What a phrase called the intense. What's been the most intense experience of your life?
I mean, whoa. Just called it. No. That's maybe too personal of a question.
Oh.
I don't know. I've had many intense. My birth was intense. I was born into intense. I don't know if I can answer that. I don't think I could truthfully answer. I could give you a very superficial answer, but I don't feel like doing
that. No.
If that's okay.
That's all right.
I think fragrance and beauty products are an empowering thing for women, or do you think it's something that's just decoration? How do you feel about making yourself up, and does it change the way you feel about yourself when you're all made up?
I find it very empowering. Personally, I don't feel like, I mean, it's a choice. You have a choice. Whether you want to or don't want to is up to you, but I find it incredibly fun that we have so many options and so many choices of whatever we want to do. You know, as a man, you can only do so much. You can only put a certain thing on every day. If I want to dress like a boy tomorrow, I can. If I want to wear red lipstick tonight, I can. If I want to be in leather tomorrow or in a ball gown, or I mean, it's a choice, and I enjoy that, having that choice tremendously. Sometimes it's kind of stressful, the pressure of it.
Do you think you've become more experimental through your time with Givenchy and working with Nicola and trying out new looks? Is that something that you're more excited about with your partnership with them?
More. I mean, I feel I've always been kind of up for trying anything. I really respect and admire their opinions and ideas a lot, so I will always try something. But I also know what I like a lot. So, I mean, it depends on, again, if it's for me, I'll be very specific. This is what I want to look like today. But if it's for them and it's trying a new product or modeling and doing something else, I'm willing to try anything to see what it's like.
What's it like thinking, obviously, with all this makeup and everything, that the shop they chose was the one where you didn't have any makeup on at all?
It was great because it was kind of exactly what they were asking for. They were asking for or looking for or had recognized in me naturally in my life through the experiences that I had been through. Or they were looking for something very authentic, I think, and quite raw and just a brave, powerful presence, male, female, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, because we just kind of took that picture for that 1 second as a test, and I wasn't trying at all. I was just being myself. Something came from that, I guess, that was good. And that was actually a really interesting lesson for me to see that image and then to shoot all day long, because when you shoot on digital, you see everything. And then I was doing all my normal tricks, the things that I normally do, and then we kept coming back to that image. you're working and you're trying, obviously, but it's really having a breathe if you can, and sort of vulnerable in a way. But as a model, you're so conscious of exactly what you're wearing and the pose and the lighting, and there's everybody's looking at you and someone's doing this. And so it's kind of an art to just be able to be natural in that moment. So I learned a lot from not trying too hard.
Yeah. And fragrance-wise, have you got a particular, what's your kind of earliest memory? Fragrance-wise,
I think that I mean, the first one thing I remember is just a little bottle of Chanel No. 5 on my mom and my grandmother's, you know, in the bathroom on the little shelf. And that smell I remember really well, which I always really liked because it wasn't too much. There was something quite clean and crisp about it and sort of classic. I remember it very well. It wasn't oppressive or particularly feminine, or it was just this nice kind of...
Is it quite comforting now if you're someone who walks past you?
I hardly ever smell anyone wearing it anymore. I mean, I'll smell it sometimes, but I don't... Do you know anyone that still wears it?
A couple of people, but yeah, it's not so many anymore.
Yeah.
Catch a word, you
know. And then both my mom and my dad have always... Like, my dad has this particular smell, but it's always from his oils. He wears, like, different oils and things, and it just... I can walk in the house, and I just smell my dad, and I don't even know what it is, but it's in the air, it's in his clothes, it's in his person. Mm-hmm. And my mom has this sort of a similar smell, but completely different, but it's sort of really pretty and clean and floral somehow.
Is there a certain smell or fragrance that you like? Would call it smells home? What kind of smell, or is it like baby powder, or fresh baked bread, or something? Well, I've heard it all.
That's amazing! Wow, what mom was baking? Does it smell like I grew up? You do?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, I relate myself.
Really?
Fly bread. Let's do New York
how
bread.
How do you teach me how to
fry bread? Pretty easy, actually. It's not impressive. Mm-hmm. So.
I always think of my earliest memories as a child of growing up in Maine, in my aunt's house, which I still go to all the time, and I always like that smell of like a fireplace, like wood burning and the fire and pine trees and sort of outdoorsy nature smells.
Last time we talked, which was about a year ago on the phone when you were at your aunt's house in New Orleans.
Oh, that's my godmother.
Oh, your godmother. My sister aunt. You said that you moved to LA because you wanted to...
I spoke to you when I was sick?
Yes.
Interesting. What did I say? I had a very high fever.
You were under the influence of like Excedrin or something. You said that you moved to LA because you wanted to figure out in which direction to hang your head, and that you were missing New York terribly, and that you want to figure out before Mother goes to school where actually to settle somehow. Have you figured that out yet?
Yeah, I came back home.
You did?
New York. And the reason why I answered that question is because the other day I was walking down the street and I smelled that smell. I was just in the village walking and I smelled the smell of a fire burning in someone's fireplace and I thought, I'm home. I had that exact thought. It felt really good.
Oh, that's great. So you're back in the city.
Yeah.
How do you cope with the constant traveling and juggling of work, life, and motherhood? Do you have any kind of things that you make sure that you do at a certain time, or the things that help you in your day-to-day life that you rely on?
I just try and go with the flow as much as possible and not be super rigid, because I always find that when you make too many plans, that's when everything goes astray and you start to lose your mind. I really, and especially in the past couple of years, I've just tried to sort of roll with it a little bit, and it's helped me, and naturally I sort of relax a little bit. But and especially being a mother, you never know what's going to happen ever at any moment, and anything can happen, and it's a constant job. You know, there's no rest from it. So,
Do you travel? Sorry, go on.
No, I was going to say, and then I have good days and bad days, and days where I feel really centered and like I have it all together, and then I have days where I'm completely losing my mind. I don't know what to do with myself, and
you know.
Do you enjoy the traveling aspect? Do you enjoy visiting all of the international cities?
I love it, yeah.
Yeah,
I do. Yeah.
Do you have that feeling of discovery when you come back to
Paris? Yeah. Oh, I feel really grateful whenever I get to travel. I really feel I'm very lucky. I mean, every time I come here, every time I get on the plane and I land, and my driver, Stefan, who's been picking me up for 15 years or something, picks me up and I hug him and I'm so happy to see him. And I feel really grateful. And I always think, oh, when is this going to end? Is this going to be over ever? Because I love
it. Do you always try to take Milo with you if you can?
No, it depends. Like, he came with me this time, which is really nice, because I'm here for a few days. But usually, if I have to go away for, you know, something, I'll go to China for 2 days, or if it's a really short trip, I go by myself, because it's not fair to drag him around the world with me. And then if I'm working, I can't really be with him. I understand, but it's still hard to...
Must be like an adventure for him as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think your ambitions have changed since becoming a mom? Have they completely... Were you as ambitious as you used to be, or is it in a different way?
I'm funny, because I would say I'm not ambitious, but if I'm ambitious, I'm quietly ambitious, and I'm quite driven and focused, but I'm not in a rush to get anywhere. So I think, like, throughout my lifetime, you know, I started working so young. I was 13 and I'm 33 now, and I don't feel like I have to do everything tomorrow or right this second. And I feel blessed that I've been able to have a career for as long as I have, and I hope that I'll continue to for a long time. And so I enjoy sort of seeing what happens, you know, and taking my time with things. So, like, you know, the past couple of years, I might have ambitions of things that I'd like to be doing that are more than what I'm doing right now, but when the day-to-day life is happening and I can only sort of handle what I'm doing now, I try not to beat myself up and know that I will get to that at some point.
Yeah.
You know, and it usually happens, and it comes, and I go, wow, I'm doing that thing that I wanted to do for 4 years and I never got to do, and I'm so happy, and then I feel like I'm ready for it at that time, you know.
Yeah.
I'm much better at saying no now and not feeling guilty about it. That, you know, making decisions, because it's hard. There's so many people want so many different things from you, and especially as a young person, as a teenager and a young woman, it's really hard to know when you can say no, when everybody wants you want to do what you're supposed to do. You want to be like a good girl, or you know, and it's hard to know always to listen to your instinct to say, you know, that sounds great, but I can't handle that right now, or that doesn't sound like it's for me, or I'm going to do this because this is what my instinct is telling me to do, or because I want to do this. Or so I think, if anything, I'm trying to just listen to my instincts a little bit more, and know when to, and feel okay about doing that, you know. And you only realize that from experience. And being a parent is so hard. You're worried. You want to do everything right, you know. And then at a certain point you go, oh, well, that happened. I didn't do that perfect, but we're okay. And we're here. And, you know, you kind of learn as you go a little bit.
Some of your famous colleagues that like to dress up their kids, like Ben Stefani or Gavin Rossdale. So how do you handle this? Because the dress up their kids, they always have been best stuff, the newest stuff on them. So how do you do that with Milo?
I don't know. I mean, I buy clothes for him and we put them on in the morning.
You're not going to for something. You're not dressing him up.
Well, he has beautiful clothes, things that I think are beautiful. But I'm not dressing him for anyone other than us, you know. And he's kind of got his own little style going on. Anyway.
So
he's got, you know, there's only so much you can do about things like, but also he's a boy and he's so sweet because he doesn't really care about that, which is nice. I know a lot of kids are really specific about, you know, only wanting to wear some. Right now he's 5 and he's happy. He gets very mad. He wants to wear comfortable trousers all the time. And he hates it when I put him in, like, tight, skinny jeans, or I have to fight for corduroys. Corduroys are, like, some days I can get away with them, but he would be really happy to be in his pajamas all day, basically. But that's his favorite thing on the weekend. He says, "Mommy, he's at the weekend." And I'm like, "Yeah." He says, "Can I stay in my pajamas all day?"
Is he the only male person in your life that makes you happy? I mean, the U.S. press has linked you to several men, like Schnabel.
Wow, interesting.
Sarah Connor, David Kirsch.
Who? What's the other person?
Your co-actor, Charlie Hunnam.
Oh, right. Okay, I didn't hear what you said. I thought you said John Hannum.
John Hannum.
That's amazing because David Kirsch is gay and has twin daughters, so that's amazing. But
so we can cross that out?
I maybe I shouldn't have said that, but I can't see it. But he has two daughters. He's a single father.
You know, so I already wondered.
But he's one of my best friends.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Is he the no, he's not the only man in my life that makes me happy. Lots of men in my life make me happy. My father, my friends. But Milo makes me very, very happy.
So
he's the most important man in my life.
So you're still a single?
Why are you asking me?
That's why. So you don't want to answer it?
No, that's classified information.
Okay.
I'm personal interest.
What do you like to do in the evening just to get away and relax? Do you have any kind of hobbies, or how do you best like to spend your time when you've got a free day?
Oh, I feel like I never have a free day. I mean, my favorite thing in the world is because once I get Milo to bed, it's usually quite late. And I love to just have a glass of wine and a cigarette and gossip with a girlfriend or have a friend over or go to the movies or check my email, which I don't get to do enough of, and things like that.
But you're a role model.
I like to. Okay.
One question for Zhengxi again, because now the 7 years you work for. What will mean Zhengxi for you? Is the classiness of Audrey Hepburn, or the kind of tea she has modernized it a lot? What kind of Zhengxi you like, and this brand, what will this mean for you?
You mean what will it mean one day?
No.
No. I mean, I think it's all of those things. What's so nice about it is that it's consistent and it stands up as an entity that exists beyond those specific people. I mean, all those people can be a part of it and live through it, and it enhances how you see it. But there's some sort of a consistent, constant thread. I mean, it's amazing that it can reinvent itself so many times. Mm-hmm. And the relationship between Hubert and Audrey was incredible. It was such a moment in time, everything that they did together. And I'm not terribly educated about this, but please, I feel like right now for me, this is the first time in a very long time that everything sort of come together, and it really, you now when you say it's Givenchy, people have a thought in their mind, they see an image, they see a brand, and it's very clear, and I really like it. So,
do you have a favorite dress, Givenchy, in your wardrobe?
Wow, I'm just loving everything. I mean, it's kind of interesting because it's sort of a newish look for me, and I love it. It's really sort of changed my style a little bit. I don't have that many. I mean, I have to give a lot of them back. They archive everything. I have some things, but my favorite pieces that I have are more like separate, you know, like I have a bag that I've been carrying for so long, it's embarrassing, and I cannot get rid of it. It's just a little clutch with a studded shoulder, and I carry it every day. It's my favorite bag. And I have something that I just got that's a beautiful lace shirt that's very, very tight with a high neck, and it's kind of fitted, and I love it. And I have some skirts that I love, like kind of classic pieces. And Ricardo made me a pair of leather pants that are like almost like tights. They're incredible. And I never would have imagined myself wearing leather pants just because it's not something I think when I wake up in the morning I want to put leather pants on. Probably because I grew up in a house of leather pants. But I love them and I wear them all the time. And it feels good.
Yeah.
Like the other night I went out and I just completely invented a little outfit that I had another pair of leather pants that are a little bit baggier and like short. Huh. And I just put them on with like a lace bodysuit and a t-shirt and tucked it in and some flats and I thought, wow, who are you? Because I would have never, but I loved it. It felt really good and it felt really easy for me and natural and it really suited me. So I'm really enjoying all the things that Ricardo's making right now and wearing them, and I think they suit me a lot, and I like that. And he's very specific about what he likes, which is nice. He creates a very, very specific and strong visual, which is good.
Okay, just a follow-up question. It's not painful or hurtful. You're a role model for a lot of, especially young girls. They see you in a campaign as for Givenchy or on the cover of a magazine or movies. What kind of advice would you give like a young teenage girl who's like self-conscious because she has like some extra pounds or a bigger nose, and she's always like looking up, of course, only for celebrities who look beautiful on covers of magazines. Just like a message for these young girls. Or
I mean, everyone's insecure and self-conscious.
But I think that I would love to hear it from someone like you. That
no,
like,
but that's what I'm saying. Everyone feels that way, no matter. I mean, you look at a magazine and you think, wow, she looks really pretty, or I would love to have those shoes. I look at the magazine and I go, oh my God, wow, she looks amazing. Or I look at a magazine and I think, oh God, I don't have all those things. Am I supposed to have those things? Maybe I need to go shopping. I mean, I think it's a natural female tendency to, and we're. Everything is, we're just, there's so much imagery and media constantly being put at us that's all external stuff. You know, you need this or you should be doing that. And I've really tried to stop doing that to myself. We do it with our phones, with our computers. We're outside of ourselves over here all the time. And it's not so much
true. But I think, like, the type of woman, like, body type talking with Mad Men, seems to be like changing because now there are like women who actually have like breasts and hips and butt. Is this something that might be just like a quick trend, or I mean, do you know better because you're working in this industry? Or is
I
just
mean,
like all
you've got what we've here? Got. You're given what you're given. I say work with it. I mean, we're not robots. We're human beings, and and we should be, what instead of, it's like the famous AA thing, being a human being and not a human doing. But, right? I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
May I have one last question? Your son shall be 6 on the 14th of December.
Wow, you know a lot about me.
Wikipedia, no secret. But you once said that he's a kind of adventurer. So how will you celebrate this day?
That's a very good question, and I just went upstairs for my little 10-minute break to hoover down some soup, and I thought, oh my God, my own birthday, what am I going to do? And I decided that I have ideas and things that I'm planning that he wants to do, and yeah.
He wants to go somewhere else?
No, we'll be home in New York.
Okay, so not just a small...
Not an adventure.
Lots of people like to go to the department store with all the kids and then let them go. So see you later, kids, and then everybody onto an adventure park or something like that, but you stay at home.
I mean, we might go somewhere, yeah. But he's very obsessed with, do you know Jekyll and Hyde?
Yeah, with that, already.
He's obsessed. We go, it's actually one of my favorites. I go, there's one by my house in the West Village, and it's usually quite empty and very dark. And we go and have little lunches and dinners together, just the two of us at Jekyll and Hyde all the time. And it's very fun. Yeah. But he wanted to have a party there, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm thinking about it. It's on a weird day. It's not on a weekend. So I don't like when people have their birthday party on a different day to their birthday, but I think I might have to do that this year. But
Thank you.
Thank you so much. This is from Givenchy.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. I saw it yesterday on one of her works with Ricardo.